Good morning. Good morning, Fellowship. I'm blessed to get to stand before you, to open Scripture and interact with it, to interact with you. But I'd be amiss if I didn't take a quick moment and say thank you to so many of you sitting in this room who knew me when I was a wee bitty kid, who knew me as a middle school punk, who knew me as a college student, even. Those early years at First Baptist Church of Ellisville, those college years at West County Community Church, that you knew me, and that you still interact with me today, that you still will talk to me today. Thank you. Thank you for your investment in the current and arriving generations in our church. Thank you. This morning, we're going to go and be in Ephesians for a little bit together. So if you have your scriptures, you can go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 2 is where we'll be specifically. But a lot of what we're going to talk about this morning and interact with Scripture about is this idea of walking through open doors. I mean, this is a fun week in the life of our church. It is every year. And speaking of arriving generations, we're celebrating students who have accomplished extraordinary things. I was even sitting with one of our graduates this last week at Starbucks, and we were talking about this stuff. And the door that has now been opened to him, just in our conversations as we talked, Thomas, he shared these dreams he had, these palpable dreams that he could almost taste. I mean, they're right there up ahead, but they're not yet. There's this open door that he's walking through. He doesn't know exactly what's ahead, but he has these dreams. And it comes into all of our lives. New doors open. And along with new doors opening, sometimes doors close, right? They do. That is part of it. Change happens. And what do we do with that? How do we walk into these new situations in our lives? How do we see this new vast expanse of this canvas, this blank canvas, if you will? If you will, where the picture has not yet appeared on the canvas. It's not fully formed. It's still only in dream phase. Have you had those? Or it's in the planning stages. Or it's just around the bend. A friend of mine, Michael, who's one of our graduates, he's a college graduate. Over the past years, we've gotten to know each other. Michael Mawson. A name keeps popping up in our conversations. And the name that keeps popping up is Valerie in my conversations with Michael. And something different happens in Michael when he says this name, different than when he says other names. This special thing kind of happens in his eyes, and so something different happens in Michael when he talks about this girl. So just a couple days ago, Michael did this thing. It was this open door that he is looking to walk through. And he did this thing where he got on his knee and asked this big question. And Valerie gave a big answer, right? Big answer. It was a good answer, right, Michael? Yeah. He did, and she did. A new door opening to walk through. When new doors open in life, there's a lot of things going on internally with us, isn't there? Lots of feelings come to the forefront. Lots of emotion, lots of memory, lots of things are going on. Some that we understand, and honestly, some that we just don't even get until maybe way later on. Lots of feelings come to the forefront. These students that you'll see come across here today, these graduates, who a few short years ago were wiry, excitable, caffeinated middle schoolers who just took over a room, or didn't. Maybe they're a middle schooler who faded into the corner of a room. But here's the truth. No matter your age, it's maybe most notable, and we see it, obviously, in groups of these younger year people, but this is true of all of us. If you're 15, if you're 35, if you're 75, if you are over 100, we all get labeled We all get labeled. Other people label us. It could be the way we talk or walk, the brand of shoes we wear, or the car that we drive, the kind of jeans we choose, or the team we cheer. I don't know. For me, I don't know the last time if you were out in public and you saw a guy walk by in a Cubs jersey, I labeled that guy in my head, right? I knew exactly what that guy was like, right? We label. It can be the way we react to a situation within a team at work. We can be labeled by the way we boldly walk right into a situation to find a solution, or the creative way we take that route around the mess in order to avoid it, right? We can easily be labeled by others. And the truth is, some of these we help create ourselves, these labels. But some others create for us, right? But we get labeled. One of my middle school friends that we get to hang out within our student ministry, Teddy. Is Teddy in here this first service? Okay, he'll be in later service. But Teddy and I, we have a commonality. We love superheroes, okay? And truth be known, almost all of the superheroes that are a part of our lore and in modern American culture come from where? They come from the comics, comic books. Now, the superheroes I love are from the universe created in DC Comics, right? It's like Batman, Superman, Aquaman, these kind of guys. Teddy, though, he loves those guys coming from the Marvel Comics universe. And he could easily, because he actually knows way more about it than me, but he could easily put a label on me, and probably has, because I love the DC side of superheroes, right? For science fiction aficionados, right, the question is Star Trek or Star Wars, right? And we all know the right answer. The answer is yes, right? Who can tell me what this is? I don't know if you can recognize them from where you're sitting. But this is, and back in the old days, they had a thing where you could turn a dial and kind of punch it. This is a label maker, right? Because people love to label their stuff. And I even remember as a young kid, my mom used to sew, and they were these little fabric, and my mom probably has some of these still in her house, but these little fabric name tags that had my name, Chris Conley, on them, and she'd sew them into the back of my coats, my jackets, onto my backpack, anything that I would likely readily lose, which I did often, she would sew those in there, and so there was no mistake as to whose it was. So it's a label maker. Now, it would be really weird, because we label our own stuff, right? But it would be really weird if we went to our neighbor's things and labeled them as our own, right? I don't think my mom ever did that, but mom, don't do that, right? And if you're doing that, don't do that. We don't label our neighbor's stuff as our own, even if they've left it out in the yard, off limits. We label our own stuff. What I want to quickly delve into Scripture and to discuss and chew on together is what labels you? What labels me? What defines you? And you could be thinking, nothing defines me. Nobody labels me. I'm not going to let anybody put a specific label on me. But the truth is, we're feeling it. Even if we try to avoid that, people are doing it anyway, especially if you're wearing a Cubs jersey, or especially if you're wearing a Star Trek jersey. Well, I mean, whatever it is, people are going to label us. A good example of this is outlet malls. Have you ever shopped in outlet malls? I love outlet malls. I remember back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s, you usually had to travel an hour out of town to get to an outlet mall. The outlet mall would have all the different brands of the stores separated by brand, and you could kind of get the brand you wanted at the price you could afford, right? Now, you had to be game for the truth of what was going on in those stores. Eddie Bauer, or it could have been Adidas, or it could have been a lot of different things. But what you had to kind of own up and be okay with was those styles that you're getting at the outlet mall, they're actually the ones that nobody wanted, you know, nationwide of that brand. But man, if you wanted Izod and you're cool with that, then that's great. Or they're the radically different sizes, the triple extra small or the quadruple extra large or this kind of thing. And yeah, you could wear it as pajamas or whatever. But if you wanted that brand at the price that you could afford, we went to outlet malls, right? And what triggered this outlet mall thing? What triggered this thing where we could go to each separate store and get the brand that we wanted and have that name on us or on our feet or on our car? And it's this label-driven culture, this culture that kind of puts a stamp of approval on it, that labels, and we want to make sure we have the right label. We're all caught in the stream of life where we're labeled. And they're not all bad labels, mind you. But they're not all good either. It's just the culture you and I find ourselves in today. Your accomplishments usually lead your discussion. When you're talking with people, a lot of times that, you know, you're talking about things, and a lot of times you talk about the job you've done or your family and how things are progressing so positively. And a beautifully hilarious thing that happens in St. Louis, which a lot of people outside of St. Louis kind of consider St. Louis the biggest small town in the country, right, is there's a certain question that St. Louisans ask each other. And I'm sure you know it, because when you get together with somebody for the first time, you know they're from St. Louis, they know you're from St. Louis. The question that gets asked is, what high school did you go to? Where'd you go to high school? Right? And then you swap weirdly related stories, and you act like you knew of their high school and whatnot. But that is a big question that then gets you labeled, right? Me saying that I graduated from Parkway West High School, they had an image in their mind, likely, once that had gone forward. To go along with the label that when they saw the car that I drove up in to meet with them. So we get labeled. So what is it? Sometimes it could be your family name. Your family name can come before you sometimes. And for some of us, that's very good if your family is well known and it's a positive thing in the community. And for some, the family name is something we would rather hide from. Your season of life could be the thing that comes before you and labels you. It could be the label divorced, right? If that is the season of your life you're in, that can be a label that gets stuck, that people see, that people think of when they see you. Your label, and we just celebrated this a week or so ago, was Mother's Day, right? But your label could be mom, and I heard so many people talk about their moms in such incredible ways. On Facebook, these tributes that people gave to their moms, and I got together with my mom and my mother-in-law over that weekend, and the blessings that they are. But if that has become your end-all and be-all label, mom, it could be student. You could be that you're maybe a middle school student, or maybe you're a college student, or graduate student, or postgraduate student, and for some it feels like I will always be a student, right? And that's a label that can come, and it has connotations to it, good and bad. Each of these do. The label single. If you are single and you're hanging out with a group of people, that label can affect you and affect you personally in ways that you, at times you feel on the outside of the group, or what are people thinking about me, or these kind of things. There are all these kind of labels. What we have lost helps label us. What we have gained helps label us. What we've been hurt by, what we wear, what we won't wear, right? And I love this. There's somebody, I will not shop at an outlet mall. I am not going to wear brands. I'm going to wear homemade clothes made out of organic substances made in factories where people are always happy, right? But if that's you, that's your label, actually. But these things can define you. Your appearance, the way people even just see you right away can label you. Your talent, your ability, your money, how quick you get it and how quick you can spend it. And here's where I want to get to this morning in Ephesians 2. I want your value, the deep down guts of you, the deepest part of you. I want the value you have and feel in your life to not land and end on one of those labels we just talked about. Because here's the problem. If one of those labels is where it's at for you, like that is the end all be all of where it landed. And right, I didn't say all negative ones. Those, some of those were very positive. But if that is the exact place where it lands and that's the end for you, all of those, all of them are variable labels. What do I mean? They can all go up and they can all go down, right? Being a mom, that being your sole label at one point, being a mom changes at different seasons, right? All these things can have their extreme ups and can have their extreme lows. They ebb and they flow. If manager is your label, then that's your total definition. Then it varies. Your company can go through ups and downs. Your company can go out of business. Your company could merge with somebody. It could be, you know, it could change by who your boss is. If a really good boss, you're excited to be that. If not, then it's not so great. It can go up and down. There are clothing brands. I noticed one of the most popular brands younger people wear right now today on their shirts, on their pants, car decals, on their phone screens, you name it. It was a brand that 10 years ago didn't even exist. It's younger than they are, these teenagers, that this is like their brand. Case in point, hello, who remembers kangaroo shoes? Right, these were these shoes. On my playground at Claymont Elementary School, if you didn't have kangaroo shoes, you were allocated to a certain part of the playground. I'm telling you, these shoes were awesome. They had this pouch on the side that unzipped, and you could put your milk money, right, in there. And they were awesome. Kangaroos, sometimes we call them roos. If you had them and you loved them, you call them kangs sometimes. Kangaroos, but you know what? You can't go on to Amazon and buy kangaroos. You might be able to get them on eBay. That'd be insane because they're probably nasty. But kangaroo shoes, this brand, it's gone. Up and down. Variable. So it's imperative that we find something that we can root in that is not going to shift or change on us. Something about us that can be spoken to and over us that is not going to vary at any stage of our life, no matter what door we're walking through or what door is closing behind us. Walking into those dreams, walking away from those memories, it's imperative that we find something concrete. And here's who speaks that word about us. Jesus, that label. He has spoken the first word over us, and he will speak the last words over each of us. So if you settle for a label that is other than the word spoken over you, about you, by him, then you are very likely settling for something less as you walk through your life. He is your maker. He is the one who thought about you. He is the one who intended you. He is the one who designed you. He is the one who gets to label you. He is. No one else can do that but God, because he is your maker. He gets that right. He has earned that right. He is our maker. What he labels you, you should go with for the rest of your life, friends. Each door that closes and each door that opens, what he says and what he does concerning you is what you should cling to. Because what he speaks overshadows any other label that gets spoken over your life. So let's go headlong into Scripture, Ephesians 2 real quick, and let's take a look at what it says here. I'm starting right there at the beginning of chapter 2. It says, and you were dead. Pause. First off, this is the story and description being told of us. But it's a before and after story. And the before is you were dead. And if your reaction is, huh? Then that's good, because death isn't usually the beginning of a narrative, right, that we start to read. But good. The very perspective that you'd bring up concerning this, that's good. Ephesians 2:10, and you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. That is such good news. It is the gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is such good news. Did you see that? Even while we were dead, he came to the rescue. He didn't wait for us to climb out of something or to find out what was best about us and cling to that. While we were dead, he reached in to rescue us into life. It's awesome. That is such good news. Like, I have a hard time even, like, for me, I know that if I had to rest on my own works, I am in serious trouble. If all of life is dependent upon me really matching up and doing good and making out a list of the things that I can impress my Maker with. So the labels, what labels is it that he speaks over us? The first one we saw there, when it talks about how we're, dead in our trespasses, and that while we were still dead, he made us, what was it? Alive, didn't he? He made us alive in Christ Jesus. He provided the way that made it possible for us to be restored to him, alive. And I don't know if you saw it there towards the end of that passage, but he calls us something. He labels us his workmanship. Did you see that? And that's not really even a word we use a ton anymore, but here's how I would think about workmanship, is God makes us alive to be his hands and his feet in our community. There are people that you know, that you work with, that you live next door to, that you go to school with, that you'll go to school with this fall, seniors that you haven't even met yet, that God has designed us and saved us to be his hands and feet, to meet their needs. Because you're going to meet people who are living under, you can even sense it a lot of times, this oppression of living under these labels that people have labeled them and trying to prove that they're not that or that they are this or whatever it is. And you're to be their hands and feet and to meet their needs. We have groups of people that are going down into the area hit by the floods here in the last few weeks, right, that are meeting needs. These are being God's workmanship, his hands and feet in their area. It could be that you have a widow living next door or up the street who needs help with certain things, who maybe the rest of the neighborhood doesn't like a whole lot, but that you realize you can be God's workmanship in her life. We're to be his hands and feet. He created us. He planned beforehand for us to be his workmanship, He put us in specific places for us to be his hands and feet. And the third thing I want you to see there is actually right up in chapter 1. And it's in verse 17. I don't have time to get into all of chapter 1 there, but here's what it says. It says that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what it is, the hope to which he has called you. We are the riches of his glorious inheritance. Inheritance is something that you give to who? Your children. Your sons or your daughters. And the label God gives you is that you are his son. You are his daughter. You are his child. He gives the inheritance to you. Now, to be honest, we can walk around in our lives like it started chapter 2 there, where it said, you were dead in your trespasses. There is a time in each of our lives where we are in darkness. Our life can be categorized as darkness. Or as we saw in chapter 1, where it talks about our eyes being opened, that our eyes have not yet been opened to this good news of the gospel. The good news being that God made a way for each of us, even while we were dead, that he rescued us. So many of us, myself included, think much of the time that I really have to do something significant to impress God, to maybe be his child, to maybe get some favor for him, to maybe be able to be in heaven, or whatever that looks like. But we usually think we have to do something specific. Maybe there's a list, or maybe there's a book, or whatever that could look like. And that's the problem. We don't quite know what that would look like, because there is not a list you and I could check off that would be enough. It had to be a rescue done by our Maker. And that is good news. So the truth is, you could be here this morning, maybe you've been in church a lot in your life, or maybe you have been in church just occasionally. And what I want to, I want you to hear today, and what I want to implore of you, what I want to beg of you, is to hear that good news. It is for you. You are to be alive. God created you to rescue you. He wants you to be his child. And he has incredible things planned for you to meet the needs around around in your community, the people you are around, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Are you alive? My question for you, and I'm getting gut level honest here, have your eyes been open to this? Has light come to your darkness? Is Jesus your future and your past? When doors close and doors open, is he the one who has that label over you that gives you the confidence to move into life even when you don't know what's coming your way? Are you alive? I beg you to see that good news. I beg you today to have that be yours, to say yes to Jesus, as he calls you. There's this old hymn that I remember as a kid. And you might know it or remember it, and maybe not, but here's how it goes. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. You remember that one? Yeah. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. When you live under all these labels that get put on you or that you put on yourself, good ones, bad ones, when you're living under those and not under the ones he speaks over you that are concrete, rock solid, when you live under those, it causes that word, that feeling, that oppression in your life, weary. You feel that? You who are weary, come home. Here's what I'd encourage you toward. As a brother, a fellow traveler here on the journey of life, I would say as clearly as I can to you here this morning, you could be like your great uncle and aunt or grandparent or parents of one of the graduates or a graduate yourself or someone who just came to maybe check out church. Jesus is calling to you. You who are weary, come home. Come home. Be made alive. Let's pray. God, we come to you here this morning, and we're excited for what we're seeing happen. We love these students that we're going to see here in a moment, and we celebrate what you're doing in their lives. God, I pray for all my friends that are here in the room this morning, those that I know and those that I've not even yet met. And God, I pray for each of us that that would be made reality in our lives, that we are alive, that even though we were dead in our trespasses, you make us alive. God, that we become your daughter, or we become your son. God, I pray for my friends who are struggling with that. They're feeling you work on that. Their eyes are being opened to your good news. Thank you so much for that. Thank you that that happened in my life, that I heard you calling, and that I am your son. And I pray for those friends. This morning could be an alive morning for many of us. God, I pray for those friends that they would simply say that to you. Yes, Jesus, I come. Yes, I follow you with my life. I turn from that darkness. I turn from that dead way of living, those labels that I live under oppression to, and I come to you. I want to be your child. God, we thank you that you are faithful, that even though we are dead, that you come and make us alive. God, we thank you so much for that. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.